Right, morning church. Are you ready for the word? Have you opened your hearts? Opened your spiritual ears? Oh dear. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, that your word just shows us your heart. And Father, I pray that as we delve into your word this morning, that you will use that to bring liberty, to bring freedom, to bring unity in your body, Lord. Father, we pray for open spiritual ears and open spiritual eyes so that we can hear and see what you want to say to us this morning. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so this morning I want to sort of start the sermon or lead it with a little picture. Can I quickly see, is there anybody here that's mountaineers? You climb mountains?
Once.
Stephen? Okay. I hope I don't ruin it because I'm not a mountaineer, but I would like to use some analogies from there. So if I ruin it, just go with it. All right, so... But I want to talk about the concept of being reconcilers. And this, I believe, is something that's at the core of who the church is. Because it's at the core of what Jesus did for us. And I want to start, even before starting with a picture for you, just to lay the foundation. This is the foundation that we're going to build everything on. And that's in Ephesians 5, verse 23 to 24. And now I'm not going to preach about marriage. We're going to focus on the yellow pieces. So it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So I want us to start off by acknowledging that this thing that we call church, the body of Christ, first of all, can we all agree this is God's idea? God said, he will build his church. Right, so church is God's idea. The second thing I want us all to just agree on is that Christ is the head of this church. Right, and because he is the head, he is the savior of his body, the church is subject to Christ, right? So what Christ says, that goes. Do we all agree on that? So that's a good place to start. So I want to come back to my picture because as I was praying, I saw the picture of a really big, mighty mountain with snow at the tops. A really majestic picture. I don't know if any of you, I'm sure all of you, because we've got mountains all around us, ever stood at the foot of a mountain. You know, if the mountain is far in the distance, it still looks like there's a mountain. But the moment you stand at the foot of the mountain, you become aware of the how big it is. All right? And I just saw this picture, and I saw a picture of somebody climbing this mountain, and I realized how small that person is in comparison with this mountain. It's like a speck climbing up. In fact, most of the, you won't even see that person if you're at a distance. And then I just came to the realization that this person climbing the mountain, it doesn't matter how skilled they are, how good a mountaineer they are still at the mercy of this mountain. You are at the mercy of avalanches, winds, elements that is on this mountain. And in comparison with a mountain, this mountaineer climbing the mountain is nothing. So with that picture in mind, I just thought of it. It's like encountering God in comparison with God. What is man that God would even think of us? If you think about the psalm, It says, what is man that God would even think of us? Like this, truly like a speck. And we are at the mercy of this mountain. To encounter God, we are at his mercy. It is God calling us. It's not us being good enough. It's not us being amazing Christians that allows us to encounter God. We are at the mercy of the mountain. We are at the mercy of God, and it's because of his grace that he allows us into relationship. He allows us to come up higher. He allows us, he actually calls us up higher, and he says, come and experience, I almost want to say, the view from the top, to see things the way that God sees it. But we are on this journey. We are on this journey of going higher in our relationship with God, in what God has called us to, so that one day we'll be able to see things the way that God sees. Right. But here's one thing about climbing a mountain. You don't climb a mountain alone. If you climb, you climb with a climbing party, okay? You've got somebody that goes ahead. The strong climbers usually go first, I hope. But somebody has to go ahead to put some anchors in that allows the rest of the crew to be able to hook on safely and climb up this mountain. And they are all very dependent on one another. As I understand it, there's usually a rope that goes from climber to climber that keeps the party together and keeps one another safe. And then just the last thought in this is, like, Jesus was the firstborn to make a way for us. Remember, we are at the mercy of the mountain, but because of Jesus, he went before us, because he firstly reconciled us to God. And because he reconciled us to God, we now have a ministry of reconciliation. And I'll read the scripture for you in a moment. But we need one another. And in this journey, as we go up the mountain, we have to look out for one another. We have to help one another. We pull one another up. We extend a lifeline to one another. And we keep the party together, so that we can reach higher heights in God as we go along. And then when you reach the top, the reward is out of this world. Once we reach the higher level of relationship with God, we start to see things the way he sees it, the view from the top. So I want to start by reading 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 20. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So the first thing that we see that we are called to, the first thing that God is calling us to, is to reconcile, or call people to be reconciled with God. Because we've been reconciled with God, we are now being given the ministry of reconciliation. So we basically invite people on this amazing journey to climb the mountain with us, to encounter God, to conquer sin and death. On our way, we implore others on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And how do we do this? We do this by being a witness, by our lives that we live. So we basically a witness in word and deed, and we help people to find their way back to God. So that's the first thing, reconciling people to God. The second one, just to quickly explain what reconcile means. So I have a few explanations from dictionaries. So the word reconcile means, at its core, it means restoring broken relationships to a former state of harmony. So you'll all agree that when God created man, before sin entered the world, we were in perfect harmony with God. There was nothing between us and God in the Garden of Eden. But as sin entered the world, that relationship was broken. The harmony was distorted. And here we see that reconcile means to restore that broken relationship. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to restore that broken relationship. The act of coming to an understanding and putting an end to hostility as when former enemies agree to an amicable truce. So this is another definition. An act of coming to an understanding and putting an end to hostility. A third definition is reconciliation between two people or countries who have quarreled is the process of their becoming friends again. So getting that harmony back that used to be there. So Ephesians 4 verse 3 to 4 says this. Be eager and strive earnestly to God and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as there's also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. So here we go into another part of being reconcilers. So yes, we want to encourage people to be reconciled to God. But secondly, he says here that we are to guard and keep the harmony of oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. So I want you to imagine this party climbing up the mountain again, and there's a rope that runs between them. And that rope that runs between them, that's this binding power of peace. Okay. The moment that peace is distorted or ruined, then you don't rely on one another anymore. There becomes this unity, and you don't trust the rope anymore. Okay, so this is important that we guard and keep the harmony and oneness. I want to read, sorry, it's not on the slides, but I want to read to you Matthew 5 verse 9. You know this very well. It's part of the Beatitudes. So Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So we're ambassadors of Christ. If we are peacemakers, we are called sons of God. We are called representing God. If we are peacemakers. So this is the second part. So reconciling means to bring peace between two parties. So we are peacemakers between people as well. Between men, we are called to reconcile people. So how do we do this? How do we become peacemakers? Because it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in your workplace, whether you are in your family, or whether you are in the church where people are actually supposed to be peaceful people, there always tends to be different opinions, different personalities. So how do we become peacemakers in situations where it's not always that easy? Because we're all different and we all act differently, we think differently. So how do we do this? How can we become peacemakers? So firstly, remember our ground rule that we set, that Christ is the head of the church, okay? And we submit to Christ. And then that the fact that we said that Christ, Jesus is our lead climber, he is putting the anchors for us. So he's given us a way so that we can keep this harmony together. James 1 verse 19 to 20 says this very nicely. It's basically a step-by-step guide. Okay, so here it goes. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener. So if somebody comes to you and they want to speak to you, you have to be ready to listen. The second one is be slow to speak. Think before you say something. The third one, be slow to take offense. So I looked up the word offense because I'm not English. I just wanted to make sure that I understand what offense means. Offense just means becoming upset, angry, or hurt by something somebody else did, normally unintentionally. Okay, so that's what offense means. And then, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So we see here that first of all, we have to listen well, and we have to listen what is really being said. Sometimes we've got filters on, we listen to things the way that through our own experiences and our own opinions, that becomes filters, and we hear stuff that's not really being said. Then it's a good idea to ask questions and to say, you know what, hang on, you said this, what did you mean by that? But what we often do is somebody says something, you hurt by it, or you upset by it, but we don't take it any further. We don't engage with it. We make assumptions, and we hold it in our hearts, okay? But that's not what the word says. The word says you have to be a ready listener. So really listen, try and find out what the person is really trying to say. The second one is be slow to speak. So what we often do is, as somebody is saying something, I pick up something, I'm upset with what you've just said, and I'm already formulating my response because I need to say something back at this. And I'm quick to just say what I wanted to say. Instead of just pausing and thinking about what am I going to say and what's going to be the repercussions of what I'm saying, to make sure that I say it in a way that the person would really understand. And then important, be slow to take offense. Talk it through. Don't just harbor it in your heart. Don't just keep it in your heart. Say, hey, can we just talk about this? This really caught me off guard. I don't understand why you're saying this. I feel a little bit saddened, hurt, whatever you are feeling. Can we talk about this? Okay. Then another thing is sometimes it is not between you and the person. Sometimes it's even a thing of you hearing somebody else say something about another person. And what happens then is we sort of pick up somebody else's offense. So if somebody comes to me and they tell me terrible things about Kobus, there's nothing terrible, but and I don't even check my facts. I just believe what they said. Now next time I'm going to speak to Kobus, I'm sort of going to look at him through different glasses, tinted glass, because I'm going to have this other person's whisper in my ear as I listen to him. And it affects my relationship with Kobus because now I don't see him in the same light that I used to. All right, so and for that, we also have scripture that tells us what to do. I think it's the next one. Yeah, James 4, verse 11 to 12. It says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So now you're in a conversation, somebody says something about somebody else in the church. Instead of actually stopping the conversation and saying, wait, just wait a little bit. This is not how I know Kobus at all. This is not the Kobus that I know. I'm sure there must have been a misunderstanding somewhere. can I help you to sort this out with him? And you become the peacemaker instead of becoming the judge. You can't be a peacemaker if you're the judge. So you have a choice in that moment. Am I going to be a judge? And judge actually unfairly because I don't have all the information? Or I'm going to be the one that wants to reconcile two people with one another? So what do I do in that case? Do I bury it and pretend that I didn't see, hear, or know about anything? So if somebody does something that you know, this is not right. We all make mistakes, true? Am I the only one? Anybody else wants to confess? Thank you. Thank you for that confession. So I see this side's very holy. But the thing is, we all sometimes, we have a bad day, whatever, and we say something without thinking. It's not our intention. It's not what we meant. And we mess things up. Okay? So what do I do? Do I just pretend that something didn't happen? Yeah. Do I? All right. First thing. First thing is I don't run around and expose the person to everybody and say, have you heard how Kobus has treated his wife? I was there when he spoke to her. It was horrible. And I run around everywhere and I tell everybody, he's very good with his wife, just by the way. but I'm exposing his weakness or his sin. So, and basically what I'm doing is I'm gossiping, right? Okay, can we call it what it is? It's gossip. Okay. So sometimes we like to make it sound better. It's like, I'm just telling you so that, you know, you can pray for them. Because I think there's a problem. Okay. All right, don't do that. Don't do that. Love covers. Okay, love covers. But now, I have to say there's a difference between a mafia and a church. Okay, so in high school, I'm a high school teacher, if you didn't know. In school, we often have this thing of, I'm not going to tell the teacher when my fellow buddy has messed up, because then it's going to ruin our relationship. And then he's not going to be my friend anymore, and he's never going to trust me again. Okay, that is secrecy. That's the mafia style. Okay, so the church is not mafia. All right, so yes, we cover, we don't expose. But remember, you're the peacemaker. Okay, so you go and speak to the person. There's actually another scripture for this. It's amazing. The Bible has got all kinds of interesting answers. Let's have a look at Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17. So it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. If they will not listen, take one or two along, so that that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So if the person does not want to respond or listen to you, and they continue with their sin in their life, then you need to go to a responsible, mature person, back to the school scenario, try and encourage the kids. If you know your buddy is doing drugs, it's really not helping him by keeping quiet. Okay? So what do you do? It's also not helpful if you tell all your friends. Okay? That's not helping him. That's exposing him. But if you come and you tell a responsible adult, come and tell a teacher who can help, then you are bringing somebody else into that can help and assist. All right, so the same thing is even in church. You know, if I have an issue with somebody, I can speak to them one-on-one. If this does not work, take your small group leader, take your zone leader, take your elder, take whatever with you and say, can we talk about this again? Right, let's talk together. And then the last one just says, if they still refuse, so in other words, if they have habitual sin and they're unrepentant and they don't want to change their ways, then tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Which, by the way, does not mean that you are nasty to them. Right. This is how we treat one another. Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And this should be our heart towards every person that's on this mountain with us. As we climb, we become peacemakers. We keep that rope strong between us. And as we climb up higher onto this mountain, it becomes really challenging in some places. But as long as we are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, then we keep that bond of peace. We keep it strong. So our action should be to be an agent of reconciliation, a peacemaker. If somebody speaks to you, don't allow them to complain to you. Stop them. Because complaining and murmuring and gossip, if we can give it the right word, brings strife and division. It destroys unity. If someone comes and tells you about something another brother has done, lead them to a place where they can actually make peace. Be the one who aids reconciliation, not the one to bring division. And the truth is, if you look at the definition of offenses, often the person that they offended with, that person doesn't even know. They don't even know that they've offended the person. Matthew 5, verse 23 to 24 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. God wants us to be reconciled with one another. God does not want division. He does not want strife. He wants unity. And for that reason, he says, even before you come to me, if you know that there's something that's not sorted out, go to your brother and be reconciled first. So for us as reconcilers, let me read this first. Christ has gone before us to reconcile us to God. He's given us the example. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation so that we can reconcile others with Christ. We are also called to be peacemakers, to build unity and not bring division. And then you help your fellow climbers by keeping them on Christ's path, lead them to live at peace with everyone else. And then gossip among one another and judging another person puts the whole climbing party at risk. And then lastly, let us edify and build towards the unity. Put away all forms of envy, gossip, and strife. Be loving. By loving one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. And that is what we are called to do. So in closing, I actually want to read just Corinthians 13. And I want to maybe, Nicole, while you minister, I want you to close your eyes. You know Corinthians 13, but sometimes we also don't know it. So I want to read it again. And as you listen to this and you have something in your heart that you want to go sort out with somebody, we want to create a space this morning where you can come and just say, hey, can we talk about this? Can we fix this so that we can repair any disunity? So 1 Corinthians 13 says this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read it again, but in a different translation. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Holy Spirit, we just ask as we want to protect that bond of harmony and peace as a body, as your body, and we want to love one another the way that you loved us, and the way 1 Corinthians 13 says it. Lord, I ask that you will come and just show us places where we need to go and reconcile. Maybe people that we need to reconcile with. Maybe we've already forgotten about something. But Lord, if you want us to reconcile, to make peace, Lord, I pray that you will just, that you'll be the one to convict. Jesus, we thank you that you reconciled us to Christ. We thank you that you were willing to give your life so that we can be reconciled to God. We thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you for this body of Christ. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that that bond of peace that you give us, that you will strengthen it. In Jesus' name.